appreciate the good prayer Brother Rick has offered tonight, and it's good to see my preacher friends here tonight and all of my friends in the Lord's kingdom, and to be with you is a great joy and blessing for me. I told Brother Rick when he was coming up, I had the hardest time, it seems, of getting anything to settle on my mind. I felt like my mind was like a Rolodex. Some of you young people don't know what Rolodexes are. It just was going from one thing to another, and I would feel real positive about one thing, and then I don't know. I just had the strangest. I haven't figured this preaching thing out yet, I guess. I hope that what has settled on my mind tonight is of the Lord, and my prayer is that He would bless it to the magnification of His holy name and to the edification of your minds and hearts. If you'd like to look with me, I'd like to read a scripture from Revelation chapter 19. It's the end of the book, almost the end of the book. And I'll say this, I always get a little bit nervous when I have a preacher stand up, especially on Sunday night, and say, I'd like to speak to you from Revelation. I promise you tonight I'm not going to get into any horns or heads or anything too deep. What I have to speak to you about that's on my mind is very simple, if the Lord would bless it. Several years ago, I was teaching seventh grade, and I taught three social studies classes and one reading class. And I had a little girl, her name was Amanda, in that reading class. She would go to the media center, to the library. We call it the library, they call it the media center nowadays. And she would get a book, and every time she would get a book, she would read the last of the book first. And I wondered, that just bothered me bad. I said, Amanda, why are you you're ruining the book? Why are you reading the last first? She said, no, I'm not ruining it, Mr. Hathaway. She said, I read the end of the book because I want to know how it ends to see if I want to read the rest of it or not. I said, okay. I mean, that makes sense. Okay. I love the way the book ends tonight. Jesus wins in the end. And He reigns. And that ought to give us motivation to read the rest of the book, to get to know this God a little better, and to serve Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So I want to read to us from a page from the ending of the book, in Revelation chapter 19, in verse 6. John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he has been given the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he is told to write the things that he sees. In verse 6, he says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of mighty waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth." I like the ending of the book, don't you? John described this sound that he heard. And he described it as the voice of a great multitude. And when I think about that phrase, a great multitude, I think about something like a football stadium. Last night, there was almost a bad football game on. It turned out to be good in the end. But you know, those fans sitting in those stands, the sound that they are making, it's really not a sound, it's a noise. It's just a big noise. You can't really, it's unintelligible. You can't really make out what they're saying. You know they're cheering, but it's the sound of a great multitude. It's the sound of many waters. When I read that phrase, I think about, I've never been there. I've always wanted to go. It's on my bucket list. I've always wanted to go to Niagara Falls and to stand on the, not in the falls, but on the, near the falls, just close enough to see it, and to see that beautiful sight. And I could just imagine, when I was little, we used to go up the road a little ways to High Falls State Park, and used to, a long time ago, they have a fence there now where you can't get down on the falls, but used to, you could walk down the hill and get just right there on the falls. And with all of that water coming over the falls and hitting those rocks, you'd have to shout at each other and holler at each other's ear just to hear what you're saying. The sound of a great waters. And I think that's an important point of what John sees. It's important for us because of this. I worked with a fellow one time that I preach about him a lot. He has helped me a lot. He has given me a lot of illustrations, and if I ever see him again, I'm going to thank him. I worked with a fellow at Chalk Mine one time. He said, Hadaway, y'all Primitive Baptists believe, and I love it when people who've never been in a Primitive Baptist church tell me what we believe. He said, y'all believe that only folks that are members of y'all's church are going to be in heaven. I said, Robert, that couldn't be furthest from the truth. That would be a great multitude, really, would it, in comparison to the world population? He told me one time, he said, Hadaway, I don't believe that there's going to be no chosen few in heaven. I said, we don't either. Praise the Lord. There's not going to be a chosen few in heaven. The Bible tells us that the multitude in heaven is as innumerable as the stars in heaven. It's as innumerable as the sands of the seashore. Now, I don't know how many of you went to the beach this summer. I'm pretty committed to going to the beach every year. When I was growing up, I never got a beach trip until I was in the, fifth or sixth grade. I don't remember exactly. We just, mom and dad, didn't have the money to go to the beach every year. But I told Dana, I'm committed. If it's just for a day trip, I'm taking my youngest to the beach every year. We're going to the beach. Partly for them and partly for me, because I love it. I love the beach. I love everything about it. But you know, if you reach down in that beach and you pick up a handful of sand and go to counting, how many grains of sand you reckon you could count from just a little palm of your hand, and multiply that times an infinite number of hand palms all over the world? The Bible tells us that the number in heaven, I love the phrase in one place. I can't remember exactly where it is, but John describes it this way. He says that he saw a number that was thousands of thousands. No, he says it's 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In other words, John can't tell you the number. It's innumerable. Next time you go outside at night on a clear night, just do your circle like that and start counting. And imagine what you can count. Imagine what's beyond that circle that we will never see. It'll never bring to our eyes the vastness of creation in the world is innumerable. The Bible tells us the number that's in heaven is innumerable as the stars in the heavens, and as innumerable as the sands of the seashore. John called this the voice, the voice. Now, what's different about the noise at the stadium last night is that that noise at the stadium is inaudible. You can't tell what those folks are saying. This is very different because John said he heard the voice. That's a voice. I believe he's talking in unison, and what he's hearing is that one unison voice. That sound of that innumerable host making the voice, the sound, and this is what they're saying. Alleluia. For the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Alleluia simply means praise Jehovah. Praise God. Sometimes it's used as a exclamation. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's used in the scripture as an exhortation, as a command. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what the gospel ought to motivate us to do. To praise the Lord. We meet to sing out, we meet together to sing. The Bible says singing to one another in songs, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing with you makes me want to worship God. It just does. When I hear your voices blend together in harmony, it makes me want to worship. It makes me want to sing. Hallelujah. It means praise the Lord. And certainly, we have a lot to praise Him about tonight. But both for His eternal blessings, which eternity will not last long enough for us to praise Him out. I mean, we will praise Him for eternity and never reach the mark. Praise the Lord for His grace. He says this, there's a reason that we praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love what I read once upon a time. Maybe it was in word pictures. I don't know. But what the word picture of this word, hallelujah, it literally means to shine the spotlight on the Lord. Isn't that the purpose of the church? Isn't that the goal of preaching? I mean, the goal of preaching is not so you can hear a wonderful message that the preacher preached tonight. The goal of preaching is to shine the spotlight on the Lord, to glorify Him, to magnify Him. Hallelujah. That's what the word means. Shine the spotlight not on the preacher, on the Lord. He's the only one that's deserving to receive accolades, and certainly He is. John says, hallelujah, for there's a reason to praise the Lord. Amen. For the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I just want to take just a few minutes and pick apart that phrase just for a moment. The Lord, the word Lord here, sometimes the word Lord, as we read it in the Bible, is in all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And when it's spelt like that, it means Jehovah. It means Jehovah God, the Lord. Here the word Lord is spelt as capitalized L, but it's a little O-R-D. And it simply means a ruler, someone in authority, the Lord. Sometimes they used to use this word a lot when it would apply to landowners and lords versus vassals, and that's not my area of expertise in world history. I don't know that I have an area of expertise, but that's certainly not it. But sometimes the word Lord simply means one who has authority, one who is the ruler, and certainly God is the ruler of it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the gold of Ophir. There's a place that Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy, where he calls the Lord Jesus Christ the only potentate. Now, that's not a word we use every day, but that's a good word. The only potentate, that means the one who has all authority. He's all powerful in authority. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the ruler of it all, in other words. The Lord. He's not only the Lord, as in the sovereign ruler of it all, he's God. And he's a good God. And he's a gracious God. And he's kind God. He's a benevolent God. He's long-suffering God. The Bible calls him the God of all grace. The Bible calls him the God of all love. The Bible calls him the God of all peace. There's a lot of things that are ascribed to God. He's good. I heard one time a preacher on the radio said, we worship God because he's God, but we thank him because he's good. He's the Lord, as in the ruler and the sovereign authority of it all. But he's not only the Lord as the sovereign authority, he's our God. Good, gracious, kind, merciful, long-suffering, and all of those wonderful things that God is to us on a daily basis. He's proven that through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he sent him to this sin-cursed, awful world to live 33 and a half years amongst sinners and then go to the cross and die for them. He's proven how good he is. But I tell you, he's not only proven how good he is in Jesus Christ, he proves how good he is each and every day that we live in this world. Don't he? If we don't see that, we need to look again. If we don't see the goodness of God in our everyday lives, we need to look again. We live in the most prosperous, blessed country in the world. I know we're not perfect, but I tell my kids just about at least once a week that they are the most blessed young people in the world because of the country that God has blessed them to grow up in. He's good. Blessed be his name tonight. He's good. You know, well, I'll get to that in just a moment, maybe. If I don't forget, and I might. Hallelujah. The Lord God. Third word says omnipotent. Omnipotent. All powerful. The Lord of the universe, the King of Kings, the only potentate, the Lord of Lords. The authority of authorities, not only is he good, a good God, he's omnipotent, he's all powerful. I was reminded of what the Lord told Abraham when the Lord comes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. And he renews this covenant that he promised to Abraham that Sarah, who is now an elderly lady, and Abraham is now an old man, and God renews this covenant with Abraham that Sarah is going to have a son, the promised son that God has been promising Abraham several times throughout his experience. The Bible says that Sarah was outside the tent, but she was eavesdropping. Now, I know that sounds hard to believe that she would eavesdrop. But she was listening in. And when she heard that, the Bible says She jumped up with joy and she said, oh boy, I can't wait for that. No, the Bible says she laughed. And God, the Lord, asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Well, Abraham's on the inside of the tent. I don't even know that he heard her laugh. But you know God heard her laugh. I don't even know if it was an audible laugh. I don't know if it was a ha-ha laugh or just a hmm laugh or if it was just a laughter inside of her that she just kind of brushed that off. But here's the point about that, child of God. God knows our thoughts whether man knows them or not, don't he? Sarah was on the outside of the tent and she laughed. And God asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Then he said this is the point that I was after. Wherefore did Sarah thy wife laugh? Then he asked him this, is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, what about it tonight? Is anything too hard for the Lord? We know that theologically, right? I mean, we know that we're good Bible-believing, Sunday night churchgoers. We've been told over and over, and we know there is nothing too hard for the Lord. But what about when the going gets tough? What about when we get bad news from the doctor about someone that we love, or what about when catastrophes happen in our nation as they have recently? What about when we watch the nightly news, which I don't recommend too much, and we see the mess that's going on in the Middle East, and we wonder, is anything... Can't God not put a stop to all that confusion and trouble? Yes, He can. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I remember one time the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he said, I am the Lord, maybe I won't get this exactly right word for word. He said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, you want to read about somebody who had some troubles in the ministry. Jeremiah wrote the book, literally. He wrote the book on troubles in the ministry. And we know theologically that nothing is too hard for the Lord. I love where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, where he says in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 3, now unto him who is able. I like to read about a God who is able, don't you? I like to preach about a God who is able. I like to be reminded about a God who is able. Now listen to the verse. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. I get the feeling that Paul is stretching for the vocabulary to describe the ability of God. He's able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What about that? He's not only able to do all above what we ask, He's able to do far above what can even enter our minds. That's a big God, isn't it? I love a big God theology. He's able tonight. Let not our faith, our weakness of faith, undermine the theology that we know that we serve an omnipotent, all-potent, able God. He is all able. I have no idea. I think about this often as I stand before the Lord's people, and sometimes I feel like I holler at you. I just get excited about talking about a God that we believe in. I have no idea. There's no way that any one man your pastor included, can know about all the needs. You mentioned some prayer requests tonight, but I guarantee you, I guarantee you that for every one request that was made audibly, there's probably 10 or more behind the scenes that nobody mentioned, just in this congregation tonight. There's no way that any one man can even know, much less have the ability to meet all of those needs. And we're a small congregation, I mean, comparatively speaking. But I'm talking to you about one tonight who not only knows, he's able. From the smallest child to the oldest one here tonight. And all of us in between. You know, I say it often. I'm going to say it tonight because it's on my mind. A lot of times we hear the things that are on our young people's minds, and it's easy for us old folks to just kind of brush it off or to make light of it or to not take it maybe as seriously. I don't know, but here's what I want us to tell our grown-ups tonight. Mamas and daddies and grandmamas and granddaddies and aunts and uncles. Our young people, and I know this because I see it every day. Our young people face issues that they may be young people issues. But to them and their little lives, it is just as real as our grown-up issues are to us. God help us to never make light of our young people's issues. But I want to tell you, young people and old, no matter what the doctor said, no matter what's coming up, we're told about a life that is full of trouble. Brother Stephen preached a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a month ago now. It's still fresh on my mind over at Pleasant Plains, where the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy that in the last days, perilous times are going to come. We know that. Let's not get surprised when perilous times come. Why? Because the Bible tells us perilous times are going to come. In this world you shall have tribulation. It's coming. Tribulation. In fact, the psalmist said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We don't get a pass on afflictions, do we? We don't get a pass on tribulations. We don't get a get out of trouble card just because we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if anything, the Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You and I are going to have some trouble times in this world. The Bible tells us. But I'm telling you about one tonight who is omnipotent. He not only knows, he is able. Hallelujah. Huh? Praise God. The Lord God, omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's able. And this is my favorite part. He reigneth. You know, tonight, we have some friends, and my good buddy from the chalk mine was one of them, that would talk about when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and when he comes back, he would say that he's gonna set up a kingdom over in Jerusalem, and he's gonna sit on the throne of David over in Jerusalem, and all principalities and dominions will be put under him. I have better news. The Apostle John said 2,000 years ago, when he was stranded on the Isle of Patmos, he said, "The Lord God Omnipotent reigneth." He's reigning tonight. It doesn't say that he reigned once upon a time. That would be true. He has always reigned. He's always been on the throne. I'm reminded of a scripture over in the Psalms that said, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Anywhere in between, he is God. From everlasting to everlasting, he's presently God, and he's always reigned. And we are not waiting on King Jesus to come back and set up a kingdom for us to live in. We're living in it right now. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah, huh? The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Daniel, when he saw that image when he saw that image that where the head was gold and the torso was brass, and the thighs were the torso was silver and the thighs were brass and the legs were iron mixed with gold, and then he saw a stone cut out without hands. How you reckon that is? He saw a stone cut out without hands, and it came and it hit the image and it pulverized it. But here's what I'm after about that. Daniel said, "O King Nebuchadnezzar," he said. He talked about the different kingdoms of that image, and he talked about when it gets to the Roman Empire, the legs of iron. He said, and in the days of these kings, maybe it says years, in the years of these kings, and he goes on to describe a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came the first time to set up a kingdom that would be from everlasting, that would be for everlasting, an everlasting kingdom that would never end. That sounded like a word salad. He reigneth. That's all my point is. We're not waiting on King Jesus to reign. He's reigning right now. Hallelujah. And he's not up for re-election next year. You know, we're going to have a governor election next year in Georgia. And I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm not worried, but I'm a little concerned. I've looked at the candidates. Our current governor will not be able to run again. And I've looked at the candidates, and I'm a little concerned, even a little bit, about the guys on my team, on my side of the aisle. I'm real concerned about the one on the other side of the aisle. I'm not worried, I'm concerned. But praise God, Jesus is not up for re-election. 2028, we're going to have a presidential election. Jesus don't have to worry about the outcome. He's not worried about a coup, a heavenly coup, overthrowing his dominion. Hallelujah. Why? He tells us why. For the Lord, the one who is in complete authority, is a good God, a gracious God, a loving God, a kind God. And he's omnipotent and all-powerful, and he reigns. You know, if we were to unplug one of those things, if we were just to unplug one of them, pick one and unplug it. And let's say that God is a good God. And let's say that he's all powerful. And let's say that he's reigning, but he's not the Lord. He's not the Lord, and so he doesn't have authority. There wouldn't be much reason to rejoice in a God like that. Am I making sense? Let's say that God was the ruler and the authority, and he had all power, and he was reigning. But let's say that he wasn't the good God and the gracious God and the kind. You know, history is riddled with figures, with people who had ultimate authority in their little dominion of the world, but they weren't very good at all. But the God that you and I serve tonight, He is the ultimate ruler and the ultimate authority. He is good and he's gracious and he's kind. He's all-powerful and he is sitting on the throne, ruling and reigning. And I want to close with this thought. My time is gone and I just want to close with this last phrase in the next verse. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Verse 7, the first phrase of verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. You and I have reason to be glad tonight because our God reigns. You and I have reason to rejoice tonight because our God reigns. And you and I have reason to give honor to Him because He deserves it. Hallelujah. Praise God, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Blessed be His name tonight. May God bless you all is my prayer.